God willing, we're going to start a new study series, and this will be in Romans chapter 8. And as I mentioned, the Lord had touched my heart some weeks ago, and this was his thoughts and his intent, and I thank God as he graced it upon my heart, the magnificences. And I think that was so sweet to me. It's not really a word, but it's everything about what this is. It's the magnificences in Romans 8. And it was sweet, and I sure appreciate you all. We have such a precious meeting. We have a precious congregation. The Lord gives us special care for one another, and he really does. And just little things, and I thank God for that. But a sister had reached out to me and said, do you know what the word magnificence means? And she said, well, I want to share it with you. So this was from the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And here's what it means. This is just how all-sufficient and incredible our God is. It means grandeur of appearance, greatness, a splendor of state, as the magnificence of a palace. Think of that. As the magnificence of a palace, the splendor of a state of being. I mean, you think about the state of being of Romans 8. You think about the palace of splendor of everything of Romans 8. And all I could think of when I heard those words was, oh my, this is New Jerusalem. This is the bride for the Lamb of God. And so with that, we arrive here at Romans 8. Romans 8 is found in a letter of 16 chapters. Isn't this interesting? Romans 8, right in the middle of it. And it truly is a culmination of all things that have been said before, and it's a revelation of everything after. And I know we've heard this many times before. I'm very thankful. Romans 8 begins with no condemnation, and it ends with no separation. And what a wonderful sandwich that the Lord has for us, which is a perfect keeping. Thank you, Jesus. But maybe, really, like no other chapter in the Word of God, I really look at Romans 8, at least its revelation to my life, and I know to yours as well, too. It contains everything, really, of grace and mercy and truth and the fullness of love encapsulated in one chapter. If there is one chapter that truly has everything, it's the 8th chapter of Romans. Praise God. And so as we begin here, I thank the Lord. We don't have to wait around very long for these magnificences. They start from the very beginning. And here we are in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. I thank the Lord that that is a verse that has graced my heart, graced my ears, ever since I can remember. I thank the Lord my sweet mother has comforted me with that throughout my life. I thank God that it wasn't just a once in a while thing. It was everything. It was the no condemnation. We know that we're free from sin. It was the no condemnation where people would even say to you, well, you shouldn't say that. You don't know what will happen to you. Let me tell you something. There's therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. And I thank God that is everything. That's complete, just like salvation, because it's complete, because it's all from the complete blood of Jesus. And I thank the Lord that we have this, and we have this assurance that God has given us. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Period. I know some of our Bibles have extra words after that in that verse. Those words do not belong in that verse. Those words were added. I thank the Lord that most Bibles reference that those are added words. I don't want added words in my Bible. I want the word of God that was given and no added words within the Bible. So that is something that I would encourage you. to cross out anything that you would find in that verse because it's not worth repeating because it's not of that verse, so I'd rather not do that. I'd rather just tell you what it is. There's a period after in Christ Jesus, and there should be a line after that through the added words. Because it could confuse you, and anything that you would add or take away most likely will confuse you from the things of the Word of God. And matter of fact, the Word of God warns us not to add or take away from the Word of God. So these are things that we need to be aware of. So this is the conclusion, if you will, this first verse is really the conclusion of the preceding seven chapters. Everything that we've been encouraged in, everything that we hear is really encapsulated in such a beautiful verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. This is the assurance, brothers and sisters, that it is all by faith. This is the assurance, praise God, that it is all finished and done by the blood of Jesus. This is the assurance that this is the assurance of the new man. It's the assurance that where there is no law, there is no sin. I love that verse. It's found in Romans 4:15. And we'll read that together. It says, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. There is no sin. For where there is no law, what this is saying, there is only grace. Thank you, Lord. I love how it says it in Romans 2:12 in another way. If you turn over there, it says, for as many, listen to this, for as many as have sinned without law, shall also perish without law. So thank you, Jesus. If I go by the grave, I'm going to perish without the law. Hallelujah. Because that blood took it away. Did you read this? You're awfully quiet reading a verse like that. I'm just telling you, you better wake up right now. Because this is what this study is all about, is being so thankful how free indeed, how free we are from any condemnation forever. Thank you, Lord. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. And if you're a person who is being judged by the law, you're guilty. And you do not want to go before that white throne of grace, of judgment, excuse me, with that guilt. So, I thank God that we have this wonderful assurance that where there is no law, there is no sin. We have the assurance that we have been justified fully and freely by His grace. Amen. That's Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Do you see how all of these verses add up to Romans 8:1? Without these verses, you can't add to Romans 8:1. This is why it's therefore. This is why it's so sweetly, there is therefore now no condemnation because of these precious truths and assurances by the blood of the Lamb. We know, praise God, that the old man is dead. The old man is dead. That's Romans 6:6. Turn over to there. Isn't that a beautiful thing to read and to know and to rejoice in? Knowing this. See, the Word of God tells us and expresses and emphasizes, know this, live this, have this be such fruit in your life that our old man is crucified with Him, that, as it says, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Isn't that glorious? Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Oh, that's glorious. It just sings and rings in your heart that we're crucified with him, that we're no longer under the law, but we are under grace. That's Romans 6:14. It says right there in 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That's a mandate. That's mandated by the blood. He's telling you there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. He's telling you, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So to utter those words, oh, sin, I'm so under sin, or whatever, that's nonsense. For a Christian, that's absolute nonsense. Don't let sin reign. Because it shall not have dominion over you. And the reason is because we're not under the law. And when you're not under the law, there is no sin. Praise God, there is, therefore now, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because we're under grace, we thank the Lord that we are free from sin. We are free from the law of our old husband, and now we're married to another. We're married to grace alone. And that's Romans 7:4. It says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Thank you, Lord. I love who I'm betrothed to. Grace is lovely. Thank you, Lord. So because of that mercy, brothers and sisters, we are free indeed, aren't we? Hallelujah. Oh, the liberty that is in Christ. And I thank God because of that liberty. And we need to truly understand this. Not only is there no condemnation, all things are lawful for me. All things are lawful for you. Go over to 1 Corinthians 10:23. 1 Corinthians 10:23. And this is where there needs to be a boldness in the liberty, in the freedom that you have. There needs to be a joy and a thanksgiving in that. And I'm talking about bold in faith. And in that bold in faith and believing, what floods your heart is a thankfulness. What protects you, brothers and sisters, I really do believe, what protects me from yielding to this flesh is thankfulness. I really do believe it is. And how we receive more thankfulness is to rejoice and be encouraged more and more in the beauty of truth in love. Truth in love. How much he loves us, how much he cares for us, how free we are, the liberty that we have, how incredibly this life that we now live is his life. Everything that he's given us is everything of him. Everything of his is now everything of ours. Everything. Nothing's withheld. The Father loves us just the same. He's no respecter of persons. He's for us just as much as he is for his Son, because it's the same life. And I know we can't comprehend this as a human, but we can believe it because now are we the sons of God. We have a new mind. We have a new heart. Thank the Lord. We don't think with the same mind. We now have the mind of Christ. And here it is. And let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Think with this mind. Love with this mind. Respond with this mind. Fight with this mind. Not with this mind. Not with this mind. It's the scriptures. Reason in the scriptures. Think in the scriptures. Pray in the scriptures. Thank you, God. This is where our power is. Hallelujah. And it's all powerful. Nothing can stand against the word of God. It cannot. And know it. Believe it. Trust it. And you'll watch it prevail in everything. But in 10:23, here's what it says. All things are lawful for me. Praise God. And it's the first thing that's said there because you need to receive that. What it is another interpretation, another way of expressing. There is therefore now no condemnation. God help us never to slide back into that, ever. And it's a constant fight because we want to take guilt. Sometimes we want to idolize guilt. It makes us feel good to be guilty. The enemy will absolutely destroy us and defeat us with guilt. We can become so enwrapped in it. We can become so enwrapped in being remorseful that we forget that the victory has been won. Jesus has taken that. Praise the Lord. I love how David said it. I love how Brother Hill would encourage us. Before thee and thee only have I sinned. Praise the Lord. Now, it goes on to say, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. See, that's the love that protects us. That's the love, brothers and sisters, that loves my brother and my sister in the Lord even before myself. There's things that I would never want to do by the grace of God, and again by the grace of God, because I wouldn't want to offend my brother. I wouldn't want to hurt my sister. Lord, help us. And I mean that. God, help us not to stumble one another. I want to be courteous of my brother or sister in the Lord. Now, I'm not going to let some legal knucklehead reign over me in a sense of trying to direct my life and say, well, you can't and you can't and you can't. I thank God for my liberties. I thank the Lord for your liberties. But I also know that all things are lawful for any of God's children. But I know that they're all not spiritually encouraging. They're not going to promote godliness in my life. And that, thank the Lord again, is growing in this great, great grace and this incredible mercy that tempers my life, that causes me to be gentle, to be kind, to be long-suffering, to not be belligerent, to not hold on to anger, to not want to go out and say, get out of my face, I'll live my life. No, there's a gentleness that comes over you, because what this truly is the joy of the Lord that becomes your strength. It becomes everything. Praise the Lord. But all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. Come on. Because you could have just got lost back in that again. But then again it says, but all things edify not. Amen. Amen. The church of Corinth was a great example of that. They got into a lot of things that weren't edifying. But really what happened there, you see, they got away from the word of God. They got into things that were of the flesh. They got into things that were unseemly things. The things that the pagans did, the things that the ungodly did, they were participating in that. And see, once again, what that did is it drew them away in the ways of the strange gods. See, that was what the Lord always told Israel. You've got it all, you have all of this, but the one thing I don't want you to do, you don't go mingle with that. You're separated from that. Now, he knew they would still make their own mistakes. He knew that they were still going to fail and do the things that they were going to do. But don't you go over there and start to yoke yourself with the ungodly. Don't you go and start to compromise those things, because it will rob from you. Now, we thank God once again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, do we really believe it? Do you really believe that? I pray you do. This is imperative, brothers and sisters. And that just doesn't mean someday. That's right now. That's right now, and it's now with us, and it's always with us. It's continual with us. It's continually. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ ever. We'll get to Romans 8:33, and it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Thank you, Lord. And that's it. This really might be the most, In a way, I really do believe this could be the very most important verse in the Bible to every Christian, for their spiritual growth. If you don't completely get this, you cannot fully grow. Without complete confidence in the grace of God, you can never properly mature. Without complete confidence in the grace of God, you will never grow up into Him in all things. You cannot. Without confidence in grace, you'll always be in fear. You'll always be in fear. You'll never truly possess the perfect love that casts out all fear. Only grace can do that. Only grace. Without complete confidence in grace, we will never have the perfect peace of God. We have peace with God from the blood of Jesus. But it's the very peace of God that is lacking if we don't have complete confidence in grace. See, what the peace of God is that your Father accepts you. He sees you and enjoys you just as His Son Jesus, and it never changes. It's always the same because the very life of the Son of God is your life. Isn't that glorious? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's the life that lives in you. Praise God. And the way I love this, that it actually reads in the Greek. So once again, if you take all those promises from chapters 1 through 7, here's how it reads in the Greek. Consequently now, there is not yet one judgment to the ones in Jesus Christ. I like that. Consequently now, there is not one judgment, not one judgment to the ones in Jesus Christ. How glorious. How beautiful. It's like a song. It is. It's just like the most beautiful song. There is not one judgment to the ones in Jesus Christ. See how thankful? And I'm thankful that's your life. I'm thankful it's my life. I thank God we have the peace of God like that. We enter into that rest, the rest of the Father. Glorious, glorious, glorious. And that's why, let's turn over to Ephesians. We can't leave Ephesians, can we? No. We're not going to. But this is how true all of our study in Ephesians is, because it just dovetails right back on there so beautifully. And in Ephesians 1:4, we read the same thing. According as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. There is therefore now no condemnation. Because He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Praise the Lord. Others might condemn us. That doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't. What means anything is before Him. And I'm so thankful that every child of God is before Him in love. Glorious, and has been since when? The foundation of the world. And where? In Christ. Praise the Lord. And you noticed that that was Romans 8:1, didn't you? Did you notice that? It said, to them which are where? In Christ. It's in Christ. That's where you are. And that's, praise the Lord, where you have always been before the foundation of the world, before time, before stars, before creation. You've been right there before Him in love, holy, blameless. Thank the Lord, I believe. There is therefore now no condemnation. Because it was back then too. And it's here now, and it will forever always be. Thank you, Lord. The assurances of the Lord are so powerful. Now, with this law of liberty, that we're justified from all things, and that's the life we have, That's when we really begin to see the depths of the love of Christ. Amen? He made us like him. He gave us his very life. And he gave us his very life so the Father would love us like he loves Jesus. Jesus wanted us to have the same assurance of him, of the will of the Father. Listen to this, because this is good. He wanted us to have the same confidence, to be loved the same and understand the same love and have the same confidence in the will of the Father, that his will would be done as would be for our life. Because it is the same. I know it may not feel the same, but the Word of God says it is the same. Because we have the same life. Because we're in Christ. And I thank God that will and that love is exactly the same. Exactly the same. Now, my oh my. As we really see the depths of the love of Christ, we now, praise God, we walk through treasure gates. Treasure gates. The gates of treasure. And the gates of treasure open us into the mercy of the Lord and the fortunes of mercy, which is the very riches of his glory. And that's what this does when we understand what he has been made for us and what we have been made for him. And in that, brothers and sisters, this mercy that's been poured forth, this glory of this realm of grace that we are in, which is all grace, we realize that the fortune of the riches of his glory is infinite. We walk in it with assurance and gladness and joy that it's all ours. We don't doubt it. What he shows us is ours. We walk through the land, but yet, even as it said about Joshua, stricken in years, the Lord encouraged his heart. There was more land to walk through. There was more glory to see. There was more inheritance to take. There was more inheritance to grow in Joshua for the Lord. And I thank God that's us. And yet, it's us, but we have an accelerated, praise God, we have a better promise. We have more. We do. We have a better thing. And we thank God for it, don't we? But we walk through these treasure gates. And in that riches of glory realm, now the fruit of the Spirit has a complete fertile ground to grow the things in our life that are all pleasing to the Lord. See, once you understand that it's all grace, your flesh doesn't get in it. It doesn't. When you yield to all grace, you realize that it's just a gift and it's a free gift. Everything you have with the Lord, every bit of faith that you grow in is the grace of God. It never is an effort of you. It's not anything of you. It was all freely given. You're called, you're chosen, praise God. You're fed of him, you're kept of him. You're the lily that doesn't toil, hallelujah. You're the lump of clay on the potter, the master's wheel. And his hands and his water and his oil and his love and his care, he molds you and makes you after his very will. But the imperative thing is you realize there is therefore now no condemnation. Because what that does, brothers and sisters, in that assurance, it sets us in that realm of grace in complete and precious perfect peace. It truly does. We rely on grace alone. We thank him for his mercy alone. And see, when you really live that, you don't only live that for your life, you live that for the body's life. I live that for your life. I rejoice as much for you and you and you as I do for me. because this is our liberty in him. This is the beauty and the expression of everything of the blood that's on the mercy seat, cherubim. That's how simple this is. We just stare upon that pure mercy that's been given to us freely, that has freed us from all things. Praise the Lord. We want to lock into that. And that's why, praise God, never forget the beauty of all these freely given things. You say it's foundational. Sure it is. But it's a foundation that, praise God, it builds thereon. There's a glory in that freedom that we always praise him for. And that's the glory of that grace that protects us from flesh. It's the truth. When you glory in grace and you praise him for mercy, I'll tell you what, it keeps the flesh at bay. It keeps it at bay. And you thank God for that, don't you? Hallelujah. All growth is in the bastion of grace. For the word of God assures us we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think of this in Christ for a moment. We're going to stay right here in Ephesians for a second as we just finished that depth of journeys in Christ. And right there in Ephesians 1, let's go back and read verse 3 together. Everything is in Christ. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So in 1:3 of Ephesians, it says, "Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Amen. "According as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Go on to verse 7. "In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Verse 9, "having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in Christ." Hallelujah. Go to verse 11. "In Christ also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after his own will." Verse 12, "that we shall be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." Everything right there, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. We are blessed in Christ, we are chosen in Christ, we are forgiven in Christ, we are accepted in Christ, we are redeemed in Christ, we are given the mystery in Christ, we are obtained our inheritance in Christ, and we receive the praise of his glory, hallelujah, in Christ. Thank you, Lord. We got it all in Christ. And we're not going to be found anywhere else. This is the life, praise God, that truly rejoices. Saints, this is really the crux of everything. If we miss this, and I'm speaking of Romans 8:1 and the beauty, that truth of who we are in him, we will miss it all. We'll miss it all. See, instead of rejoicing in the realm and praising him for grace, isn't it sad that Christians can be so stuck in how they want their life to function, or they wish they weren't doing this? See, Paul was stuck with that for a while. That's why he came to Jesus 3 times. And he said, "Lord, I want you to remove this thorn from me." The Apostle Paul had his attention on something of the flesh that was in his flesh, as opposed to praising the Lord. At that time in his life, he had to grow up too. And thanks be to God, he grew up fully, because we sure reap the benefits of that growth of the Holy Ghost in his life, because we mark and we follow Paul as he followed Christ. But I thank the Lord of the sincerity of the testimony that the Spirit reveals to us through the Apostle Paul. That the Apostle Paul was truly focused on his flesh, wasn't he? "Lord, you got to remove this from me. You got to take this out of me. It's hindering me with you. I know it. Because I'm thinking of my flesh." And the Lord said, "Oh no, Paul. I'm thinking of glory. I'm thinking of the Spirit because that's all I can think of, because I'm spirit and I'm spiritual. And this is who you are, because you're born of God and now you're of the Spirit. See, you're of me. So you got to quit thinking of this flesh. That's the precious battle that we got. And start to focus on the Spirit of who you are. And begin to praise me for what I've done. And the liberty of my grace. And the power of my mercy. And understand, as you said and came to in Romans 7. What is that last verse? 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He got that there are two natures. God willing, we'll be there next Wednesday. It's a precious thing. It's beautiful. It's necessary. All that good fight of faith comes from that. Glorious. But you got one life. And that life is brand new. It's him. That's it. That sin for us has been condemned in this flesh. Isn't that glorious? It's condemned. That sin in your life is a prisoner in your flesh. It can't get through to the new man. It cannot. You are free from sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. I believe we read that, did we not? I believe that that's an assurance that God has done. Amen. I believe we best believe the word of God than how I feel in the flesh. Begin to praise him, saints. Praise him in the realm that he's put you in. Grace. Thank him for the liberty that's in Christ. Hallelujah, the mercy. That's the power. When we begin to have that power and praise him for that, that thankfulness, that joy, that rejoicing, let me tell you something. You do not give as much opportunity to this flesh. You don't think about it as much. Yeah, it's still around you, but my mind, my attention is set on the things above. I see where I'm seated. I thank God that I'm with you, Jesus. I'm so thankful, Lord, your life lives in me. Hallelujah. I know that's my life. So see, with that, this is the power of the life of Christ Jesus in us. And fully alive in every way. And this is the reality and the fulfillment. Let's go on over to Galatians 2:20. This is the reality and the fulfillment, brothers and sisters, of Galatians 2:20. Go over there here real quick. Galatians 2:20. It's marvelous. So marvelous. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. I have died with him. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the reality of the heights of it all begins right here. And what heights is this? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. This is the life, brothers and sisters, the honorable life of the elect of God, the sons, that we are now accepted in the beloved. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. My heart hurts, but I know it's a growth thing. For years being around Christians that were so abusive in looking at flesh upon my life and other people's lives. I commend you, saints. We are growing up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And my heart hurts for people that are still under that. That ones want to magnify some type of a fleshly act going on in somebody's life. Addressing them that they've got to knock it off or what they have to do, as opposed to encouraging those people into more grace and more mercy. and covering that, not looking at it. I know it's there, but God, help me to walk in with a blanket to cover it. And that ye that are spiritual, restore. I commend you, saints. And continue, because let me tell you something, but for the grace of God. And we still have flesh. And we all still have tendencies. God help us. There's no condemnation. We are free indeed. I want to encourage your life in that. I know that's the power to tap into to truly overcome. To truly, by the grace of God, as the Apostle Paul, Lord, you go ahead and keep that thorn in me. Because what happens is the power of Christ is resting upon my life. I see that power keeping me. And I'm so thankful for that power that keeps me, that I'm saturated in the love, and I'm not even paying attention to the thorn that's still there. I never hear Paul mention about the thorn again. And I believe the Lord never removed that thorn because it was too precious till he took him home. That's at least my treasure with the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, we are brand new. Always. Always. And I'll tell you what. If you weren't the one that received the most because you had to be forgiven the most, I feel sorry for you, because you really are. I don't care who you think you are. As a matter of fact, if you don't think you are the most, amen. You still got a lot of problem. Maybe you are in front of the line. I pray we get it. As I've said to people before, your goodness is keeping you from God's best. Your sweet nature is holding you back from really being unleashed into the glory of the grace of God. Now, we're brand new, always, constantly. The Word of God says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's read that together. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, there it is again. Are you in Christ? Shoot, you've been in Christ before the foundation of the world, haven't you? You've been in Christ, Alpha, beginning, hallelujah. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Praise God. It cannot sin. It's the new line. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's power. This is the springboard, brothers and sisters, into all the riches of what follows. This is the absolute that we are now the sons of God. I thank the Lord. We rejoice together that it doth not yet appear. It has to doth not yet appear. It can't appear that way right now because we need the faith. Hallelujah. It doth not yet appear, but we know who we are in Christ. We know that we're like him. We know that we're growing from glory to glory into his very image. And by allowing him all by grace to fully flourish in us, you know what happens? We grow up into the measure and the stature and the very fullness of Jesus Christ unto a perfect man. And I'll say it this way, unto a perfect grace man. That's the only perfect man there is the perfect man in grace. Lord, I do, I want to, I desire to, help me to be perfect in grace. To see it all, hallelujah, truly with those enlightened eyes, that this is all grace. Do you see the joy that we can have? The joy, the thankfulness, the hope. Thank God, the hope. Oh, God, thank you for the hope. I mean, we get hit, Christians. We do. We get hit hard. Things hurt. But I thank God for grace. I thank God for his mercy. And not for my life. A lot of times, it's more so for the lives, praise God, that hit or hurt. And then thank God for the hope that the Lord gives me and builds in my life that was lacking, that I needed so desperately. I guess that's where we say it's the diamonds cutting diamonds. But see, unto a perfect full-grown grace man. And nothing can grow up fully but the full grace man. Amen. So we must get, we must always remain in, we must always give full rejoicing and thanksgiving forever and ever, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. And that is magnificent. Hallelujah. Let's stand and be dismissed.